Welcome to Design Huddle, a podcast where two internet friends break down what's new in tech and design.
Each week, we talk about what's trending in tech, have some hilarious candid interviews with creative professionals, and drop some knowledge on you so you can stay ahead of the pending robot apocalypse.
Now let's get into this week's topic.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Concept. So this is obviously coming from the move 2020, the year of work from home. It'll probably be, you know, the new normal for a while now, but I'll give you everyone the intro. The folks at Nissan have apparently lost their damn minds in this, so just it obviously takes a strong stance. So before we form our own opinions, let's just like dive in a little bit. The Japanese automaker has released concept designs for the mobile office van that allows work from home cohorts to retreat into nature and still clock in their hours. We'll pass. The gist of it is that Nissan's VH300 vans then stick a desk modular in the back, drive somewhere remote, so as long as you get Wi-Fi and cell service, you can simply work out of the back of your van. Before we get into the details and any other features this car has, I need your gut reaction, Brendan. What do you think?
I don't know. This is like... First off, you would not catch me in a mobile mobile unless it's the Batmobile to begin with. I don't know about you guys in the chat. We would love to know, like, just from this picture alone. Isn't Nissan a mobile phone developer too? Or is there or maybe I'm just so outdated with my knowledge.
They do. They're a car manufacturer, Japanese car manufacturer.
Wow. Okay. So, yeah, but they definitely have, I think they have lost a little something.
Yeah, you know what I was thinking when I first saw this?
What?
Any good action movie where you're like on a sting operation and you have like the FBI in the back of a van and they're kind of surveillancing a house. It's like a small version of that where it's like one person from the FBI could sit in the back of the van and work.
So. they're like, you know what? It's already a thing. Let's just make it extrude now.
Yeah. So it's like, I immediately thought like Stakeout. I also thought this is like a little too gimmicky for me. You know, it's cool, but like if you have this much disposable income, like buy a studio or like rent a studio and get a small, like, cool office space with a cool view that's close to where you live. I like the idea of being mobile and in nature, but if you're trying to do any productive work, it's going to be tough with a weak Wi-Fi connection or using your, you know, smartphone connection if you're deep in the wilderness. Right. So that's my initial reaction. I think there's some other photos down here, so let me move in down here. You can see this one. It also has an umbrella that extends from the roof. So if you want to just chill on the roof of your car, you've been looking at the screen too long, you can climb up to the roof, lay on a lounge chair under an umbrella, you know, maybe make yourself a pina colada and just like soak in the views. So, I mean.
That's crazy. I mean, there's a couple people that are bringing up a really good point. They're like, first off, I have snacks and drinks at home from JT. And there's a couple other people like, what is the price point on this? We're really curious.
I know, this is like our new thing on Design Huddle. We just show these like unreal futuristic products, but then we like never get the price points. I'm sure the price will come. I don't know. I think the most expensive part of it is the ability for the car to extend out. Like to be able to support that amount of weight, like there's definitely some serious engineering that went in here. Because obviously when the car is moving, it retracts in, the back door shuts, and then when you're parked, I'm sure it allows the mechanism to kind of pull the office out more into nature. the thing that's actually kind of cool, which I actually really like, I just noticed, is you're in this cube, and then behind the laptop, or the monitor rather, there's no background. So you're just looking out at like nature, which I think is actually a really cool minimal design that I'm actually kind of into. But all in all, my take is I pass on this. I think it's cool, but
yeah,
I no way that this would be worth the price point for me. And I'm more of a city person anyways. I can't spend too long out in the country.
Man, when you start seeing bears and deer, no, it's time to come home.
Yeah, imagine you're like, you see a bear and you got to wait for this thing to retract before you can go into start driving.
We want to know in the chat, is this a pass or a go for you? Because I feel like this would hit somebody, a particular, this is for a particular audience. This is not for the general individual.
Yeah. I mean, I could definitely see people, getting into this, but, I think this is just like what happens, you know, people are coming up with new creative solutions to work remote. And this is the newest one that's popped up. There's going to be good ones. There's going to be bad ones. But, you know, all in all, you got to give them some credit for the creativity here.
Yeah.
I love how they're giving like, a shout out to the chair. Like, that's why you're going to buy this car, is because of the desk chair.
People are like, this is not even a consideration. So is the desk built into?
Yeah, so the desk is built into the actual mechanism that pulls out. And then the chair, I guess, is like a swivel chair. I can't tell how it's anchored, but it looks like it's anchored somehow in the back. The other thing is it's all like completely open air. So if you're going to a cold place or the weather's not great, that's also a massive con. Like, you kind of have to have good weather in order for this to really work, or your monitor is getting wet. So,
yeah. And the internet, like, what it, that thing better have like 6G. Like, are you kidding me? You would be on top of your van being like, where's the Wi-Fi with your cute umbrella?
I think that's what you can spend more time doing, is driving around trying to find a Wi-Fi signal. So, all right, well, I think that's enough on the Nissan van, but thumbs up, thumbs down in the chat. Love to hear it.
I think the majority.
Do you want to move on, Brendan?
Yeah, let's roll into the next one.
All right, so. First question for you. Did you own a Zune growing up, or were you always on Team Apple?
I'm not going to lie to you. So when Zune came out, I didn't have one, and I don't think I wanted one. Because I was just like, I don't know. The concept of, you know what? I don't know. I don't think I wanted it. It was weird.
I'm with you. Totally with you. I was Team iPod.
I was like, I got CDs.
I still have my iPod that I got in like 2000, maybe 2007 or 2006. It's just got probably insane fire jams from like the early 2000s on it. I still have. I got to plug it in. Like, it still works.
The Zune is a good weapon.
What was that?
The Zune is a good weapon. Like, if you're in a desperate need and you have like that brick, we're curious to know in the chat who remembers the Zune.
There's got to be some like Gen Z on the chat that like, I have no idea what you're talking about. So for context, Zune was Microsoft's basically version of an MP3 player that was released in 2005. This article basically goes in, and we'll link all these. It goes into this guy named Connor Woods. He collects them. I'll just give a quick snippet here. He likes collecting them because they come in all different shapes and sizes. Each one can be identified as a telltale black plastic D-pad just below the screen. He owns the entire scope of the Zune lineup, which I didn't even know there was multiple versions, but everything from the Zune 4 up to the Zune HD. And among the microscopic community of people who still adore Microsoft's much beloved MP3 player, no collection of dead tech could possibly be more inevitable. My initial reaction here is I remember the Zune. I'll scroll down in case everyone wants screenshots of what these look like. I remember them. I always thought people that had them were just like trying to be different for the sake of being different. At the time, we're still talking peak Microsoft. So in my opinion, this was a little bit of a flop in terms of like the potential of, you know, what Microsoft could have come out with in terms of like an MP3 hardware. But at this time, like, you have to imagine, like, you know, this came out and then I think people were just blown away with like the iPod. And the Shuffle was around the same time. So it was just like they entered the market at a super tough time. But I would love to know, anybody own a Zune? I was team iPod, but I thought this was interesting that there's like a small cohort of people on like Reddit that love Zune and they talk about Zune. So I thought this was like just another, you know, recess of the internet that I wasn't expecting to find.
Yeah, we have Diane in the chat says, I have and had a SanDisk MP3 player. JT was saying, I've heard of Zune, but always been team Apple. I think that's when I got into the Apple landscape when the Shuffle came around. Because I remember, like, my first big boy purchase was a green Apple Shuffle. The little square thing, the rectangle thing.
Yeah, the Shuffle
thing.
Didn't have a screen, right? So you had to, like...
No.
Yeah, so you just had to, like, basically... you
left and right.
Yeah,
next
imported,
song.
Yeah, you imported music, and then it was just... the magic of the device to give you the jams.
Yeah, that was the best thing. I clipped that to my shirt. I could roll like a roll out. I really liked that it was small. I didn't need a screen, and I didn't listen to that much music. It was just Missy Elliott all day.
Work it. Yeah, that's a great, great music video. That's hilarious. Yeah, so... I think the other takeaway from this is I didn't know there was different versions. I thought it was like such a flop when it first came out that, you know, they didn't have any market share. It didn't land well.
Right.
I remember it too being like buggy or not working well, or like it was like very, like the actual UX was tough to like import and like remove files from the device.
Yeah.
So, in case anybody's wondering, you go to Reddit, the subreddit's rZune. It's got 4,000 people plus. Are called Zune United. Oh, this is so good. But I just thought this was hilarious. I can't believe that there's people that collect this. But the one thing that I have always appreciated is old nostalgic tech. There's always people that will collect it, even if it's a terrible piece of product when it came out. That's it on Zune, Brendan. Anything you wanted to add here? I know you're more of, we already talked team iPod, but...
I'm for Team iPod. I thought this was just a really interesting find. Actually, what I think is interesting about this topic and really to talk about here today is that there's literally 4,500 people. This is what I found most interesting about this. That are talking about something that is so old and it has traction and it's now on the verge being talked about as news. So what I think is awesome, and the first article, you can really make anything nowadays. Here's an umbrella on top of your RV that you are now in the woods with 6G internet. We can make like whatever we want, and if we're passionate about it, we can get traction with whatever that idea is. So I think that's really awesome and comforting for other creatives to kind of like think about. Like, we just went through literally two ideas that were highly interesting, but so odd, yet we're here talking about them. So it's just like, you know, if you have the same kind of the same creative energy to create those weird things, it's awesome that we can do that.
Yeah, I mean, that's the best part, is that there's literally communities for everyone imaginable. So, sweet. Do you want to move on to the third topic so we can maybe squeak in the fourth one? Does that sound
good?
Yeah,
I think we got time. I think we have it, yeah.
Amazing. So I'm sure people listening, watching, are watched an insane amount of Netflix over the past, you know, year plus. But Netflix finally is bringing a feature that everyone, I think, wants, which is the Shuffle feature. It'll officially launch. I've actually seen this live. So we're checking out an article from The Verge. So I'll just give a quick synopsis of this. But the Netflix Shuffle Play feature, which the company has spotted testing last year, is getting more widespread launch in the first half of 2021. Variety reports the company made the announcement as part of its latest financial results. In the testing phase, Shuffle Play has worked by picking content based on your viewing history. helping you avoid overwhelmed by Netflix's home screen full of content. Netflix's COO and Chief Product Officer, Greg Peters, said this feature is designed for users to indicate to us what they want to skip, browsing entirely with the click of one button, and we'll pick the title for them and just play it instantly. During its test of this feature, Netflix has experimented with including shuffle play button on its profile, select screen, and play something option in the menu. And this is how it ends up looking. So there's a screenshot from Turner Levinson on Twitter that's embedded in this Verge article, so you guys can see a look. That it's a simple button that you can click down to that says shuffle play. Brendan, what are your thoughts on this? Are you a big Netflix guy?
You know what? I'm not super big into Netflix, but in the Diane and Sean said, or Diane said that she's noticed the shuffle option on her Netflix for a couple weeks. She just hasn't checked it out yet. I don't know. I think I'm surprised that they incorporated this late in the game. A lot of the challenges I have with Netflix is I'm so indecisive, man. I get on there and I probably spend an hour looking to pick a show. Where to the point now, my partner's like, "Give me the remote."
This feature's literally made for you, then, right? So no need to spend time thinking about it. Hit this button; it starts giving you a preview of a show, and then you can watch it. You know?
Yeah. Another thing, I'm actually really curious your thoughts on this and those in the chat. Like, for somebody who kind of gets production a little bit, when I'm watching Netflix and I'm like, why didn't they light that green screen well enough? Why is there shadow there? So I get stuck in like the production of watching Netflix series.
Yeah, some of the
I'm
shows
just like,
are better than others, obviously. Some of them I feel like are rushed out the door.
Yeah. I don't know. What do you think? Go ahead.
One of the other things I was going to say is that so Netflix allows multiple users, right? So so mine would be like, you know, Ryan and my wife's name, Lori. So we'd have our own profiles. So my profile, Ryan, is also used by a lot of my like college friends. Like two of my roommates from college still use my Netflix. Like also, if you're listening, Brian and Sean, stop using my Netflix. I'm going to kick you off. But anyways.
Wait, are they for real? And
yeah,
they have an app?
They still use it. They had an app. They've literally been logged in literally since.
Bruh.
Back in, you know. 2012. So, but the reason I say that is that my Netflix, it's like tailoring content to what I like, but it's also factoring in two other people that are watching stuff that I don't care about or I'm not interested in. So my shuffle, I tried it the other day because I have this live as well, like Diana, and she said, and it basically like I was getting all of these random shows that I was like not interested in. It was like, you know, like stuff about like, you know, crabbing off of Alaska. I was like, this is interesting, but this is not like something I'm trying to watch right now. So
not for a Friday night. No.
I don't know if it's I don't think it's crabbing. I think it's lobster off of Alaska. I don't know. Well, no, I think it's crab. Someone needs to confirm. I think the deadliest catch is crab. Alaskan king crab. That's what it is. Okay, cool. I just needed to make sure I was not giving off fake news. But the reason I say this is, Brendan, do you remember the website StumbleUpon?
I think, is that not around anymore?
It might be. I think it's been either acquired or renamed, but you remember you used to just click like three topics, like tech, entertainment, sports.
Yeah.
You hit a button and then it would just give you a random website and then you could upvote it or downvote it. So this is basically just like the 2021.
Oh no! All right, we're back. Okay. There was a little lag. It was just like there was a 2020. All right, we're good. We got to run back that last sentence, though.
Oh, no. I said, do you just remember StumbleUpon when there you could just pick the different topics and go from there?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think I maybe used it twice, and I didn't really understand the power of it. I remember, like, when it was a thing, people, like, that's all people would talk about.
Yeah. I mean, it was kind of cool. It was like you know, other than doing like a, you know, search, you could just use that and find like, you know, it was kind of like a cool earlier version of like, I think it was way before like Pinterest. So you could use it as like inspiration too. So if you did like interior design, you could get more stuff on that. Am I lagging, Brendan, or am I good?
No, you're good. You're good. Right. And even if you are lagging, the recording is going to be smooth. So you're good. There's no problem there. Yeah. You guys are here for the real experience of Design Huddle, okay? This is where
it's
we do
raw and uncut. Yeah.
All raw and uncut. We get to chat with you guys. Sean was saying that, you know, he has, in Germany, he has that shuffle functionality, and he's not a fan. So.
I could see it going both ways. I think they just realized, like, so if we just take a step back and look at the product and the rationale, chances are they saw users are spending an insane amount of time on the home screen, to your point, Brendan, just, like, trying to find something that they want to watch.
Yeah.
So I think naturally it's like Netflix is turning into like a diner menu in a small town where there's just like so many pages and you can't figure out what you want to order. It's the same concept.
Yes.
So by giving people just like a minimal amount of content saying yes or no, I think they're increasing watch time by doing that. And if you increase watch time, they'll probably be able to like retain more users in the long run.
Yeah.
That's my quick analysis of why this feature was launched.
That would make sense.
Random rabbit hole, what's your diner meal of choice?
You can't go wrong with burgers, man. You just they're on because exactly what you said is true. And Golden Rose in the chat is saying the exact same thing. She's saying like the reverse argument. She doesn't want Netflix to box her in. I'm like, box me in so I can choose.
I know, but that's why it's like the very different types of people. You want people that want to be explored for themselves and they have the shuffle. But I think that's why they have it. You don't have to use it. It's a feature for people that are indecisive.
Yeah, I'm super indecisive. Like I will judge. I'm like that the cover art of Netflix, I'm like, that looks trash. And I will like watch the trailer or like a couple minutes in and I'm like, this looks like ass.
Well,
like,
the trailer's autoplay now too. So I spend so much time watching trailers being like, like let me rate this on a 1 to 10 scale and I'll check out 10 more and then I'll see what the best. I just need to just pop something on. And then it's so funny because I used to just spend 30 minutes trying to find a show and then just put The Office on. But of late, the Office is off of Netflix now. So now I have to figure
out. Wait, where is it going?
NBC launched Peacock, which is their service. So now you have to have Peacock in order to watch The Office. So big hit to all the Office fans out there. I just thought this was interesting. I'm a huge Netflix user, so I saw this live recently, and I was kind of something that I was like, that would be cool to have. But I could totally see both sides of this. So next time you're on, Brendan, look for it. Tell me what you think of it. And I'd love to see. I see people in the chat mentioning Peacock from NBC. I have not tried it. I haven't heard anything about it. I'd love to see if anybody's actually enjoyed that streaming service because there's so many out there these days.
Yeah, guys, let us know in the chat like what streaming services, because this is now like a thing. You have, and it's actually been a very interesting conversation where you have Netflix seems to have. Oh, I was reading something, maybe it was something that you sent me, Ryan, where I actually didn't know about Peacock. I don't know how that got brand. I really want to look
Peacock
up the branding for Peacock.
I think it's NBC is owned by Comcast. So Comcast owns Xfinity. I think somebody in the chat, Golden Rose.
Yeah, Golden.
If you have Xfinity, you get Peacock for free. I think the issue is that there's a lot of cable cutters. So they basically are just living on, you know, Hulu, Netflix, Amazon Prime or Prime Video. I guess now Peacock. So this is like where the world's going. Disney Plus is obviously another big one that's come up in the last couple of years. So,
I really like Disney Plus. I thought I would hate it, but I think I like Disney Plus because I know what to expect. I'm like, I know my Disney movies. I can sing along to them and everything.
Yeah, Disney Plus, I think the breakdown of then the Pixar category, I just like I'm obsessed with Pixar movies, especially now that my son's almost two. Like we crush Pixar movies and I'm just like loving them more than ever. So
yeah. And I don't know. Like, have you studied the market share for like the difference? I haven't. And this is the reason I'm asking, because I'm sure I'm like, my man goes deep into Bitcoin, he must go deep into these other things. Have you looked into the market share of like Netflix, Disney? I didn't even know Peacock was a thing.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what the breakdown is. I know that Netflix was first to market, so they have a huge market share. So everyone's kind of chasing Netflix, and for a long time, Netflix was operating at a loss because they have to produce all these shows. So it became very, very expensive, and that's why if you've been on a Netflix user early on, you've seen the price slowly creep up. You know, every couple of months. Like I think I forget what it is now. I think it's like almost $15 a month, depending on how many users you allow. But I know that I would say if I had to guess, I would say the largest market share would be Netflix, and then probably I would say Hulu, and then Prime Video maybe. I'm not sure though. I'm sure we can get a pie chart of that.
I'm trying to find the pie chart right now.
Yeah. Let's see. But if you had, I mean, do you use multiple? Like, what would you rank as your favorites?
You know what? I'm not going to lie. I love, because I'm so indecisive, and in my mind, I know I'm indecisive because I'm looking for a specific thing.
Yeah.
And so YouTube actually is my favorite platform of all, because I literally can type something in and not know what the result is going to be. I just know that I'm interested in what I'm typing in. And there could be like actual results for the thing that I randomly typed in. I'm like, ooh, I can learn now. Where Netflix, I'm just like predetermined, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, I would say by consumption time, YouTube 1, Netflix 2, and then third would be close between Prime Video and Disney Plus. But I think that's like part of it is that these subscription models aren't going anywhere. So I don't know. It's nice that we have this much content. I like can't imagine going back to the cable days of scrolling through the guide or waiting a specific time to watch a show. But
I can't.
Yeah, I definitely.
It's crazy.
Can. Yeah. So just one other screenshot on page right now is there's a play something button. So I like how descriptive the.
play anything. That's literally what that is. Play
they
something.
They literally just make it like a panic button. Like you can just hit like a red button where it's just like, give me something. So I thought that was also funny because it's like a nice, like, you know, just play something. Give me something and just start streaming it. But so that's the third topic. Maybe we touch quickly on CES and look at the tweet of the day.
Yeah, let's do it. If you got time, I got time. While you're pulling those things up, I'm going to go over to the chat. Golden Rose is saying, I have Hulu free through my cell service. I think Golden has like all the services.
Yeah,
Golden's
it sounds like Golden's got the hookup.
I think, so you trying to give us your logins, Golden, so we can, you know, just a freemium, just check it out. Sean in the chat says YouTube 88%. Are these your particular things, Sean? Would love to know, because in the market share, I'm not even sure if this is correct. I literally went to Google Images, slapped the Google Image tab, and was like, what are market share for Netflix 2020?
Oh, I guess like, I never really think, I guess like YouTube, I kind of always forgot to include there, but that would make sense. The math doesn't add up to 100% though, so.
My man was like, where's the other percent?
No, I think there's probably, we'll follow up with what the actual breakdown is. Cool. So let's just quickly hit on some CES stuff. These are like products that came out this year, some of the best ones that have come up. So let's quickly talk about best laptop. So the one that, again, this is coming from the Chicago Tribune, not necessarily known as like the tech, you know, a tech company or a tech review company, but I thought this was interesting and the article was very popular for whatever reason. But so best laptop was the HP Elite Dragon Max. HP bulked up its Elite Dragonfly laptop with better camera, improved sound quality, enhanced security. It's perfect for anyone working on projects, spreadsheets, taking video calls, or anyone that's on their computer 24/7. This is basically just a workhorse laptop. Sounds very impressive from what I've seen. The other thing that HP's done a really good job of is rolling out more enhanced security. So that's another thing that came up. For anybody that has kids or they're working on, helping kids learn from home, the Acer 14-inch Chromebook Chromebooks always tend to be, you know, a really good price point, but it has really good performance. It's got an aluminum, sandblasted aluminum body, super durable, and its price is at $500. So I think that's good for, you know, more of a kid, young teen laptop. That's probably the best bet. Brandon, have you heard of any of these so far? Because if not, I'm just going to read these off and then we can react to it.
I haven't. The only one that I think it's more so a company that I'm really interested in right now. I think it was the first one that you mentioned with the Dragonfly. Is that the...
Yeah, the... Well, Elite... So, HP Elite Dragonfly.
Oh, it's
Max
HP.
Dragonfly, I think, is the...
That's another company. That's that chip company.
Yeah, they do, like, yeah, like computer chips and phone chips and whatnot. So...
Yeah,
All right, cool. So let's skip the boring stuff. Best affordable phone was the Motorola Moto G Play. Best home learning tablet was the Lenovo Tablet P11. So let's get into the cool stuff. Best robotic vacuum, the category everyone's been waiting on. And this was a surprise to me. So I am a huge Samsung fan in terms of, like, televisions. I, like, love my Samsung TV. I'm, like, very, very loyal when it comes to Samsung for TVs. So the fact that they got into vacuums, I'm immediately interested. I will say, I did make a mistake.
Oh, man. No.
I owned a Roomba. I'm just going to come out and say it. And it was probably a big waste of money, but I did own a Roomba. I think I still...
All right, but how effective is the Roomba? We have to dive in now, because we've crossed the segment of now where it's just like, yo, hottest phones, hottest laptops.
I know.
Now we're in the territory of like, yo, watch my smart vacuum.
It's probably like a 6 out of 10 in terms of, like, ability to, like, clean. But the issue is that I still don't think it cleaned the whole room. So if it's like a 10 by 10 room, it takes time, and I still feel like it misses spots. So that's my concern, is that I don't buy that it can...
Watch your profanity.
10 by 10 radius, like, or radius, the 10 by 10 area... completely. So
yeah,
I don't know. I probably got this six years ago, so it was like when this was like a thing of the past, and the prices have dropped on these dramatically. But
yeah,
I love that Samsung is coming up. So it's called the Samsung JetBot 90 AI robot. This robotic vacuum takes easy, thorough, and fully automated floor cleaning to the next level. Let me click on the... Let me see if we can get a quick image of this so people can see what it looks like.
I'm like... Watch your profanity. What do you guys think? Have you guys ever owned in the chat?
I can't see photos of it, which is kind of insane that they don't have it. It's like a press release with no photos. I don't get it.
Okay. Yeah, they were just like, no.
Yeah, this is another question. I know people in chat are gonna be like, what's the price point? They don't have that listed here. That's the only thing that I don't...
This is
like
an about. SEO piece, guys. They
Yeah, but I think it is. I think they're doing a lot of that. But the more I'm reading this, the more that... But so the thing that's interesting is, if you listen last week, Brendan and I talked about the Razer N95 mask, and that was actually voted the best concept of CES based from this group. I think it's just be pop up ad.
No, this has been like 99 cents for 8 weeks.
Yeah. So if you haven't checked out that episode, go check that out. It's actually really cool. It's like a cyberpunk N95 mask that's fully tricked out with filters and lights. So... yeah, that's pretty much it. Tweet of the day, I think we'll get into next week, but I just wanted to wrap and check everybody else. Brendan, anybody in the comments have anything else that we wanted to hit on?
Golden says, I've just very much appreciated my HP laptop. It's been serving me very well.
Yeah, people say HP laptops are just good, reliable, workhorse laptops. So that's good to know.
Yeah, so I mean, I think that's it, guys. And if you guys... at all in the chat, you're like, what's going on? This is your first time here. You're like, all right, we on Adobe Live. This is, you know, I'm seeing two new individuals. This person seems to be not on this planet. And then you have a lot of questions, basically, is what I'm saying. If you guys are new, my name is Brandon Gross. I'm a designer and content creator for different Adobe platforms, but also what we're doing here, I'm here with Ryan. Ryan, just give you like a little...
I've worked with Brendan on like, you know, quite a few things. We launched Design Huddle last year really as a hobby, something that we always love doing, talking about tech design. And we also get into, you know, helping people with like their career growth and like navigating like how to be more productive with your career. So that's like what I do in my free time. I work at Google in their BD division right now. And then I've done quite a few UX jobs throughout my career. So I'm currently based in, you know, Philadelphia, but it's awesome to see this audience grow. Like every week we see more and more people joining. It's more of like a, you know, grassroots podcast, but we'd love to get your guys' feedback. We think this is always a community. So we'd love to hear what you think. How can we make it better? Whether you're listening, watching, we obviously really, really appreciate all the love.
Indubitably. And guys, I just want to second that because we have to end here. But if you guys are new or if you're at all interested, like Ryan mentioned, you're interested in design mentorship, learning about tech trends, what's going on in the world, or you're just looking for us to talk about people and or brands and how they're trying to make people go out into wilderness and somehow do work in these beautiful vans where we have a lot of questions. Basically, if you like to learn stuff, be in a community with a whole bunch of people striving to get 1% better each day and also learning what's happening in the news, come join us. Our podcast and our Discord is down in the description down below. Come join us and give us a listen. So that's all I have for today. I really just want to say thank you guys for joining. Just to give you guys context, if you have been here before, we're doing some changes in terms of having our podcast early morning on Friday, then jumping into some design stuff later in the afternoon. And so with that said, guys, don't forget to like this video, whether you're on YouTube or Behance. And don't forget to give us a follow so you get notifications when we go live. That's all I have to say. So, Ryan, is there anything you would like to close out for us today?
No. Have an awesome weekend, and we'll catch you guys on the next episode.
All right, cool. All right, Ryan, I will see you on the next one. I'm going to call back into our Game Changers office. All right, man, take it easy. I'll see you soon.
See you guys.
Design Huddle is a podcast that is hosted by Ryan Warner and Brendan Gross. The opinions stated here are our own and not those of our company. Thank you for tuning in, and please feel free to share this episode.